All right, we've given Kevin Barker the week off for good behavior. And you got me. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. If you were at the ball game tonight, a 6-3 loss to the Cincinnati Reds, give us a call. You want to talk about the game, you want to talk about some of the things Chris Bassitt said earlier today. Didn't exactly walk them back in his conversation with Arden and Shai, but did kind of attempt to soften things a little bit. But, you know, as I said on Blair and Barker, as I said in Blair today, because again, Barker wasn't there. It really doesn't matter. I mean, you can say whatever you want. It's how a comment lands that matters. And, you know, I'll say this for Chris Bassitt. I think his original comments taken at face value probably summed up the way 95% of Blue Jays fans feel anyhow. So, in that regard, whatever mission Chris Bassitt was trying to accomplish in his interview with Chris Rose, mission accomplished. 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. The Blue Jays losing this game, the big play of the game, no doubt, was the drop third strike by Alejandro Kirk in the sixth inning. Opened the door to a big inning for the Reds, an inning that put the Reds on the path to victory. Ryan Burr coming in relief of Kevin Gausman. And, you know, that's what the rest of this year is going to be about. It's going to be about finding out what exactly the Jays have and guys like Brendan Little and Ryan Burr. We do know this. Ryan Burr is capable of pitching a memorable fit in the dugout, and it is quite entertaining watching Ryan Burr whenever he does meltdown, because it's quite a spectacular meltdown. You probably heard some of his language on TV today if you were watching the game, and of course a couple of outings ago, a little bit of a reaction in the dugout. Kevin Gausman continuing to, I mean, I don't know, what would you say Kevin Gausman's trying to do? Continuing, I guess, to set himself up for a good offseason and come into spring training, maybe find out a few more things about himself. His velocity was down again today. I don't really know what to read into that. I think in some instances it's probably by design, but, again, a home run, hurting the Blue Jays. And at the end of the day, regardless of the pitching, and we will focus on the pitching, but at the end of the day, regardless of that, I mean, the Jays just could not manage anything offensively. Kudos to Vladdy Guerrero for a monstrous home run. Second deck shot in the first inning. And Ernie Clement following up with a leadoff home run in the ninth. But again, much too little for the Blue Jays. They fall 6-3 to the Cincinnati Reds in the first game of a three-game series at the Rogers Center. We will listen for the manager, John Schneider's post-game interview, and also get comments from Kevin Gausman's, from Kevin Gausman, who was today's starter. Russ in New Jersey, let's go to the phone lines. You're on Blue Jays Talk.
How are you?
You know.
You know, don't care. You know, it's, you know, I've been a Blue Jay fan, and I know you know I'm a big one, but I went to games back in 77, and even when you went in the early 80s, you know, Bell was coming up, and Barfield, and Mosby, and, you know, this team is a funny team because they still, you know, you look at some of the younger guys, but they're still saying they're trying to compete big time for 2025, and they're going to go, you know, they're still, you know, people think they're going to go out and get some high-priced free agents, so, you know, you don't know who's going to be there, but I want to talk about two things. Number one, I know it's his first full season, but he didn't come out as a used prospect, and that's Schneider. He's totally lost at the plate. And the crazy thing is he does work the count sometimes, and he'll get into a 2-0 count, and he'll just strike out, and you would think that he's going to see a pitch, a decent pitch on a 2-0, and he just – I don't know what it is, but it seems like he's just clueless at the plate right now. it's not only his average is down to 200, but the strikeouts are just every game one or two strikeouts. And the other thing I want to ask you about is, I said this 4 months ago to you, I don't believe that Ross Atkins is getting fired. And that's it's not nice to say that anyone should lose their job, but it's any other city, this guy would have been out. And it's a joke for Shapiro to tell me how he likes, he likes consistency in this. We've been consistently not winning. So I don't understand this whole thing. But I'm not surprised at all. Shapiro is the guy that, gave this guy the job. I don't know if Tony La Cava would have been a better GM, but Tony La Cava is a very respected baseball guy. And they got rid of him. And, you always look at Atlanta, and I'll ask you, that's what I'll leave you with. I think Riley getting hurt has ended it. I don't know how they've survived up until now with Acuna and Strider and then Albies and everybody out. But Riley, I think that's going to be the finishing thing. I don't think that team can make the playoffs with that many injuries. But I think Allison Topless, the fact that they're there at this point, just shows how he can put a team together.
Yeah, I'm going to say this. First of all, as far as I know, Tony La Cava is still with the team.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
He is.
And as far as I know, I'm not entirely certain. And again, I've known Tony a little bit for a variety of reasons. I'm not entirely certain he wanted a GM's job.
He didn't want the one in Baltimore, that I'll tell you, because he turned that down. He didn't want to work for Anthony.
Yeah, and it's not just that. Tony's... One of the reasons Tony liked working for the Blue Jays and likes working for the Blue Jays is they've allowed him to stay in Pittsburgh in his home. And that's very important to Tony for a variety of reasons. I'm not going to get into it. I mean, it's not that it's just, it's that that's the way it is. So, I wouldn't read anything into that. And as I said, in point of fact, I think Tony La Cava is still with the team. I don't know what, I think he's a senior advisor. I don't know what his actual role is, but I do want to throw that out there. Ross Atkins. It's like this is the Ross Atkins show, basically. It's really what it is. It's basically the Ross Atkins show because it seems that that's all that we talk about, and that's probably going to be the case for the rest of the season. Listen, Russ, I would be lying if I said to you that I would be surprised if he, I'd be lying to you if I said I don't expect him back. I have no indication that he won't be back. Certainly, Mark Shapiro's recent media availability certainly suggests that, he wants Ross to figure this out, and it would stand to reason that if you want somebody to figure something out, you're probably going to bring him back. That may have to be a decision that's made above Mark. I don't know, but I certainly do get the sense that that Ross has Mark's confidence. As far as David Schneider goes, look, Kevin Barker figured this out a long time ago. David Schneider's a great story; we all love him, but unless he's an everyday player. And I don't think he's an everyday player. He's got to be able to crush. He's got to be able to crush left-handed pitching. He just does. And he's just a bench guy. And it doesn't mean that he doesn't have a place in this team. But I'm looking at a lineup today. How many everyday players are there in that lineup? Horowitz, maybe. Wagner, I don't know. Clement, I don't know. Loperfido, I don't know. Barger, I don't think so. It's nice to have bench depth, but you don't want to have your starting lineup full of 9 bench players. So there is a pecking order that will be established here. I would think Davis Schneider has a little longer leash than some people. And it would be great if Davis Schneider could figure out this 2-month slump or whatever it is, if he could figure it out and finish the season on, strongly, that would certainly help. But it may just be that what you see is what you get with him. Because again, we're not talking about a 21-year-old kid. And that doesn't mean that he can't improve. It doesn't mean he can't get better. It doesn't mean aspects of his game can't improve. But I mean, this is a, you know, we're talking a pretty sizable sample size right now when it comes to Davis Schneider. And that's, you know, that's, I mean, you want to find that out. You want to find that out about these guys. You know, Joey Loperfido is intriguing, but you want to find out about him. Will Wagner's intriguing, but you want to find out about him. Personally, I mean, I've been more impressed with Will Wagner than and Spencer Horwitz than any other guys they brought up. And that's not a bad thing because, you know, this organization needs some lefty bats. So, and I think that'll probably, you know, that'll probably buy guys like Barger and Loperfido and Wagner a little more time. And that you could probably find, you know, you can find another Davis Schneider. You can find another right-handed bat that can come off the bench. I mean, the Jays have had a difficult time. They've had a hell of a time finding lefty bats that can play every day or come off the bench. So, you know, I think that's the thing that separates Davis Schneider from the rest of the Blue Jays. But he's got another month here. You know, let's see where it goes. But again, a pecking order is being established. And if you're John Schneider and you're facing a right-handed pitcher right now, he can't be your first choice to play second base. As dead in Los Angeles, how are you, my friend?
Hello there. I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well, believe it or not.
Well, we all are in the same boat. Listen, two questions that I have, and then I'll probably stay on the line because I don't have a real good way of listening to you guys. I'm in Los Angeles. So question one is, we've talked about how much of a cannon of an arm Barger has. So how easy or how difficult is it to train a guy like Barger to be your catcher because nobody would ever be able to run on the guy?
Okay. It's impossible would be my answer. And arm strength. I mean, you come on. You're a smart baseball fan. Arm strength alone isn't the thing that makes a catcher, you know, that allows him to throw runners out. I mean, it's a matter of footwork. It's a matter of balance. I mean, there's all sorts of things that go into it. So no, that isn't happening.
No, that's too bad because you know he's a young man, trainable. One would hope, but I understand.
Yeah, and he can't. He hasn't shown me enough that he can hit enough that I want to waste a great deal of time experimenting with him anyhow.
Yeah. So, second question is that, you know, we've been talking about Atkins, you know, forever, and I'm not going to repeat everything. I kind of agree with all the callers here. And the fact that Bo is very likely not to sign with the Blue Jays. I think it has a lot to do with this leadership. And he doesn't want to sign with this leadership that have let the players down for so many years. So get rid of these front office people, the Shapiros and the Atkinses and everything. My belief is that these guys will start becoming a lot more amenable to signing with the Blue Jays.
Jesus, man, are you driving or walking across the street? If you're walking across the street, look both ways. My God.
I'm hiking in Los Angeles.
You're hiking are hiking in Los Angeles.
I am.
Why?
And I'm, listen, well, you know, it's afternoon. It's a beautiful day. It's warm.
It's 7 o'clock. Now, maybe, you know, but anyhow, sorry. I just, yeah. I love L.A., but I love L.A., but I've only driven in L.A. I think I walked one time, and that was because I found a great parking spot and I was walking to a restaurant. I don't think I've ever met anybody who walks in L.A. You may be a first.
Well, come and I'll help you out.
Okay.
Listen, finally, one more comment. I really appreciate people like Russ calling in. He just mentioned that, you know, he's a fan from 1977. So am I, and I still have my baseball hat from 1977. Thanks, guys.
All right, I appreciate the call. He's going hiking in L.A. Like, is he up in the mountains? I mean, that is, seriously, anybody's been in L.A. I mean, I get, yeah, I'm just kind of exaggerating. I mean, you can walk around, there are areas you can walk in, but a little concerned there with the horn honking and all that. You know, I thought about that, hitchhiking. I don't know if we've ever had anybody, don't know if we've ever had anybody on hitchhiking. I mean, we did have Ren Lavoie call up the Blair Show one time and get a ticket from the Quebec Provincial Police because he was talking on the cell phone. But anyhow, as far as what Astrid said about, we'll just leave the Addison Barger stuff. The Beau Bichette comments, and I don't really know if they're comments as much as a report by Bob Nightingale of USA Today that Beau Bichette is not likely to sign with the Blue Jays after his current contract runs out. He is a free agent after the end of next year. I mean, put your hand up. Well, if you're driving, don't put your hand up unless you've got one hand on the wheel. But put, I mean, anybody out there surprised if that was the case? And you know, I don't know if it has anything to do with the front office. You know, Bo did sign a 3-year contract with this front office to cover off his arbitration years. And that came after some pretty contentious renewals on the part of the Blue Jays of Beau Bichette. Beau clearly wasn't happy with the process. But you know, it is what it is. You don't have, you're beholden to the team's judgment until you would reach arbitration. And then of course you get your ultimate freedom as a free agent. But would a new front office be able to get Bo signed? I don't know. I think that at some point that ship just leaves. And if you're a player, and especially a shortstop, when you see what shortstops are getting paid right now, and you're a year away from free agency, and you're guaranteed, I mean, you're going to make decent money next year if you're Beau Bichette. Why on earth wouldn't you, why would you sign here? Why wouldn't you test the market? I mean, you're not going to get, I guarantee you if Beau Bichette tests the market next year, he'll get a decent offer. Or I should say at the end of next year, if he's healthy, he'll get a decent offer. But I mean, that's kind of the gamble on the part of Beau Bichette. And that's why I think that if Bo was going to consider not going the free agent route, I think he and the Jays probably would have been able to come to some sort of deal right now that would buy out a couple of years of free agency. I just don't think it's that easy. I think that you know, we tend to look at it and we say, well, it can't be that hard to buy out a couple of years of free agency. Just do the math. We all know how to value players, $8 million per war, et cetera. And then you look at what other players are getting in the market and you compare, you contrast, and you try to come up with some sort of an agreement. But there's also an aspect of human nature here. And you do get to a point where I think if you're a player, you want to see what's out there. And I'll flip this in its head. You know, people say, well, maybe Beau Bichette getting hurt will make him more inclined to take a contract with the Blue Jays and get the security. I think Beau Bichette getting hurt would probably just reinforced in his mind that, you know, nobody's guaranteed a long career in this game. You got to strike while the iron's hot. And that means going the free agent route. 416-870-0590, star 590, 888-666-0590. Plus, I've also got to add this, and I want people to keep this in mind. You can fire Ross Atkins and Mark Shapiro tonight, and you still, the whole organization, they've run this organization for years. Nothing's changing overnight. You can bring somebody new in, but at every level, at every affiliate, it's their guys running the show. So the idea that you get rid of a front office that's been in place for, what, 9 years now, however long it is, and that things are miraculously going to change overnight? Nah, it's not the way it works anymore. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. 6-3, the Blue Jays have lost to the Cincinnati Reds. It is the first game of a 3-game series. Are you disappointed Joey Votto's not up for this? I mean, I know his AAA numbers are god-awful, and I take him at face value that he wants to be up here and be able to compete. But for the life of me, I don't understand why he's going through this and why the Blue Jays are going through this you know, without taking advantage of this opportunity of having him up here against his former team. Anyhow, we'll take a break. We'll come back on the other side, hear from the manager, hear from the callers. It's Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Johnny, put Ryan Burr into some leverage spots lately, and he's done well for you. What's kind of the difference when, you know, between those ones and how things went tonight?
Yeah, it's location, you know. I think, you know, it gets the strike out there to Candelario on the slider, and then I think just location with the fastball and the doubles there. So, again, with, you know, like with Kev and basically everyone, got to get ahead, but you got to get ahead in the right way. And I think that kind of took advantage of some mistakes in the middle. But he has been good. You know, he's got a good, you know, kind of downer slider and gets some swing and miss. Just wasn't his night tonight.
That was John Schneider talking about Ryan Burr, who gave up three doubles to the Cincinnati Reds in the Reds' 6-3 win over the Blue Jays at the Rogers Center. The first of a three-game series between the teams. The sixth inning, started with Alejandro Kirk dropping a third strike and allowing Tyler Stevenson to reach base. That was the beginning of the end for Kevin Gausman. It was indeed the beginning of the end for the Blue Jays. And look, Alejandro Kirk's been awfully good this year defensively. It is his calling card. But one of the things we will be watching as we go through September is how Alejandro Kirk responds to a heavy workload. There's no Danny Jansen anymore. Brian Servin is at best a triple-A catcher. And Alejandro Kirk's going to get a lot of work. And I'm not saying, I'm not suggesting that what we saw tonight was the result of fatigue. I'm not suggesting that at all. But, you know, I will say that that's one of the things the Jays will be watching. I mean, they've got a lot to do this offseason. And I would think if you're the Blue Jays, needing to spend a great deal of time, energy, and certainly money on the catcher spot, there are other things you need to do. So you would love Alejandro Kirk to, if not necessarily be, you know, your clear-cut number one. You'd like him to be 1A. You in the very least, like to replicate what you had with him and Danny Jansen. You know, and Buck Martinez made a good point about this over the weekend in Chicago. You know, talking about Randy Hundley, the Cubs catcher who caught something like 159 games one year. You know, that is your true number one catcher. Well, you're not going to see that anymore. You want 90, maybe 100 games out of your number one guy. You know, unless obviously you run into a situation where you've got a JT Realmuto or a Natalie Rutschman or somebody like that. But even Natalie Rutschman DHs a fair amount. So that's one of the things we'll be watching with Alejandro Kirk. And again, you know, Alejandro Kirk defensively pretty much been money this year. So if anything, you kind of feel bad for him. You kind of feel bad for what happened tonight. And I'm not saying, I mean, that was what? Kevin Gausman did finish with 100 pitches on the night. So you'd have to think that he was almost done at that point, regardless. But still, it was the thing that opened the door. And again, for Alejandro Kirk, you know, a tough break for a guy who has been very good for this organization defensively, not just this year, but in previous years. We had a caller a few minutes ago ask about Davis Schneider. Actually, it was Russ talk about Davis Schneider and where we are with him. And, you know, I made the point. I think we know where we are with him. He is losing ground, frankly, in the battle for an everyday spot next year. He needs a good September to play his value back up. And you know, that doesn't mean that there isn't a spot for him in the roster. But, you know, clearly, you've got a lot of guys right now. You've got Ernie Clement. You've got him. I'm leaving aside the lefty hitters for a minute. You got guys like Leo Jimenez. I mean, there is what we are seeing right now is the establishment of a pecking order for those players going forward. And you could throw the lefty hitters in there as well if you want. There's about six or seven guys that would, at the end of the year, you know, when the Jays sit down and look at what they have and what they need to do, There will be seven players they will be looking at. They'll be trying to figure out what they have. Maybe one of them. I've said this. I have no problem if you take one of the lefty hitters and platoon them at second base as part of a platoon. I quite frankly have no problem if Spencer Horowitz is your everyday second baseman next year. I really don't. Based on what I have to do, if I can take care of that position with Spencer Horowitz, I'm fine. I'll make it work somehow. And days I'll have somebody else have a righty hitter in there at second base. But for the rest of these guys, it's a matter of kind of getting stuff lined up for next year. John Schneider, the manager of the Jays, was asked about Davis Schneider tonight. Davis Schneider coming in the pinch in the seventh inning was called out in strikes as well in the ninth inning. This was John Schneider on the slumping Davis Schneider.
I had a good chat with him today, myself and the hitting guys. And again, strikeouts are going to be part of his game, which is fine. And I think just him focusing on the work and the process to get back to where he has been and where he can be is what we're looking at right now. It seems that when you're in a tough stretch, things don't go your way. And I thought, first at bat, it could have easily been a walk, ball four or ball five, but doesn't happen all the time. Stuff doesn't go your way, but he's feeling it, And again, we're just trying to put him in the right spots to have success. And what he needs to focus on is how he's getting ready for every single game, and having the routine and the thoughts to get him back to being good, because he's shown he can be really good at this level.
That is John Schneider talking about Dave Schneider, and that pretty much answers, I think, every question anybody has about him and about how important he is to this organization and what he has to do the rest of the season to regain the degree of trust that John Schneider in the front office originally had in him. And, he's played a lot of baseball and he's seen a lot of pitches. And if you're a baseball fan, you know that teams in this league adjust, and they adjust quickly. There are very few surprises left when it comes to Davis Schneider. And, again, that's something the Blue Jays need to see in September. It's taken him a while to adjust to the adjustments that were made to him. And this is something Kevin Barker talks about all the time with this team. Why is it that the slumps with this team take so long? I mean, they just do. The slumps we have seen in 2024, to a certain degree last year as well, but the slumps we've seen this, they just seem to take forever. And it doesn't matter the age of the hitter, doesn't matter what type of a hitter he is, and none of that matters. Left, right, none of that matters. When they go into a slump, the slump just drags on and drags on and drags on. 6-3, the Blue Jays have lost to the Cincinnati Reds. Second game of the three-game series will go tomorrow night at the Rogers Center. The Cincinnati Reds will apparently have a new player on their roster tomorrow. We're led to believe anyhow, Ahmad Rosario has joined the team. And I know Gord Whitmire saying that expect to see him in the on the Reds roster tomorrow. They claimed him off waivers from the Dodgers a little earlier. So there you go. And Ahmad Rosario, a little bit of a surprise. What are you seeing, like 305? I know the Dodgers are a good team and they've got a bunch of moves they have to make, but my goodness, he was hitting 305 with the Dodgers. So the Reds claimed him, and he could very well be in Toronto tomorrow. And of course the Reds would have to make a corresponding move. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. 590-590 is a text line as well. And Show Ali, Colin in Calgary reached out to us in the text line.
He did, and I see a text here from Colin, Jeff, that says, it was about the Beau report from Bob Nightingale. I think Beau needs to go after hearing the report. It sucks trading a depreciated player, but his presence in the room next year will be bad for the team. He needs to stay in Dunedin until he comes back with a new attitude.
Yeah, I mean, his presence in the room next year will be bad for the team. I mean, I don't know. It was okay when the Jays were going to the playoffs to have Bo in the room. Now, this was not a great year for Bo, to say the least, before the injury. And, I mean, you have to be exercising willful ignorance to not have looked at Bo Bichette, looked at the body language, looked at everything about Bo Bichette, and not come away thinking that this was an individual who didn't exactly seem to be overjoyed with his lot in the game. Now, Bo's hitting 300, 320. I bet he's a happy, happy, happy man. It's awfully hard. I mean, if you talk to players, they'll tell you it's awfully hard to be an elite player having a lousy year on a bad team, on a team that isn't going anywhere. That is a double whammy. I mean, you can't go home. You could be a good player. Like, you know Vladdy's going home, and Vladdy's upset the team isn't winning, but Vladdy's looking at his night and going, eh. I bridged a guy. I took a ball in the second deck. I mean, it wasn't the worst. Wasn't the worst night of my life. I'm in a bit of a roll right now. I'm sure Vladdy feels okay. A lot different if you go back and you're hitting 225 and you're 0 for your last 14 and the team isn't winning. Completely, completely different feeling. So, you know, that's something to keep in mind with Bo. We were told today by John Schneider that in 2 or 3 days, Bo will begin running, and he will be doing that in Dunedin. The Jays seem optimistic that we will see both Bo Bichette and Jordan Romano back before the end of the season. And I would think more than anything else, just getting them back and just seeing their level of health, just to kind of get a baseline for the offseason, is going to be, you know, one of the things the Blue Jays will want to see going forward. We do have a clip from Kevin Gausman. This is Kevin Gausman, tonight's starting pitcher, who deserved a much better fate than he received.
I mean, I think as a team, kind of, you know, set the tone for what we expect, you know, from the young guys, from the new guys that are here, and, you know, not just what we expect on the field, but, you know, off the field and on the bus and kind of everything in between. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of what success looks like right now is, you know, setting the tone for next year. You know, obviously we can still do something, but, you know, we would have to really play exceptionally great for that to happen. So, knowing that we have a lot of guys returning that are on this team currently, I think that's the mindset.
Yeah, and that is, you know, I'm sure Kevin Gausman is talking as much about himself as he is about the Blue Jays. That is the whole thing going forward. That's really all that's left, is to maybe play spoiler and to set yourself up for next season, both individually and as an organization. 6-3, the Blue Jays have lost to the Cincinnati Reds. It is the first game of a 3-game series. The good news, I think it's good news. The good news is they get to do it again tomorrow night. I'll be back as well tomorrow night. Of course, Blair and Barker from 4 to 6 Eastern on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet tomorrow. We'll get you set for the game. John Heyman joins us. Lots to talk about. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Aurora and Keswick, Ontario. Protect your vehicle from rust today. Find your local family-owned Crown at crown.com. Canada's number one rust protection.